As we continue on our study of getting to know the Holy Spirit through the Old Testament, we began last week in talking about the prophetic spirit. In other words, the working of the Holy Spirit through the prophets. We started out looking in 2 Peter 1:20 and 21, where Peter writes, "Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man." And that's an important statement for you to kind of hold on to, okay? Prophecy never had its origin in the will of man. But men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Okay? So the work that the prophets were doing that we read about in the Old Testament, the things that they wrote, the things that they spoke, those things came through the Holy Spirit. Okay? That's where they got their messages from. God provided the message and the human beings did the speaking and the writing. We saw one statement that was made. The Holy Spirit is the agent of communication from God's mind with God's Word through God's prophets to God's people. And so that's a part that we want to keep that in mind as we look at the prophetic spirit. I told you last week in this first part of this study, we're going to be looking at the false prophets. Okay, one of the things that the prophets of God had to contend with over and over again were false prophets. And so what was happening there where we're going to look at how were they able to distinguish and what are some of the characteristics or distinguishing marks between a false prophet and a true prophet of God. Micah in 3 verses 5 through 11 puts his own righteousness against those of the false prophets. But I want you to turn in. I told you, how many of you did your homework? Okay, all right, y'all getting better. Okay, all right. 1 Kings 22, 1 through 25. Here we have Micaiah going up against the prophets of Ahab. And I want us to notice, several different statements that are made here in this dialogue that's taking place. So we go over to 1 Kings 22, let me get somebody to read. Let's just kind of break this up a little bit here. Let me get somebody to read from verse 1 down to verse 12. First of all, let me get a couple of people here assigned. Who wants to, verse 1 through 12, who wants to read that? Okay, Mike, how about 13 down through, let's see, I don't know, about halfway through there. How about down to 18? 13 to 18, okay? And then let me get somebody else to read from 19 through verse 25. All right, Lynette. Okay, Mike, go ahead and read for us.
For 3 years, Syria and Israel continued without war. But in the third year, Josaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said to his servant, "Do you know that Ramoth Gilead belongs to us? And we keep quiet and do not take it out of the land, out of the hand of the king of Syria." And he said to Josaphat, "Will you go with me to battle at Ramoth Gilead?" And Josaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses." And Josaphat said to the king of Israel, "Inquire first for the word of the Lord." Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said to them, "Shall I go to battle against Ramoth Gilead, or shall I refrain?" And they said, "Go up, for the Lord will give it into your hand Jehoshaphat said, is there not here another prophet of the Lord of whom we may inquire? And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord. Micaiah, the son of Eliab, but I hate him, for he never prophesied good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Then the king of Israel summoned an officer and said, bring quickly Micaiah and the son of Imlek. And now the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, were sitting on their thrones, arrayed in their robes at the threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets were prophesying before them. And Zedekiah, the son of Chenaanah, made him himself horns of iron and said, thus says the Lord, with these you shall push the Syrians until they are destroyed. And all the prophets prophesied so and said, go up to Ramoth Gilead and triumph. The Lord will give it into the hand of the king.
Then the messenger who had gone to call Micaiah spoke to him, saying, now listen, the words of the prophet with one accord encourage the king. Please, let your word be like the word of one of them and speak encouragement. And Micaiah said, as the Lord lives, whatever the Lord says to me, that I will speak. And he came to the king, and the king said to him, Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth Gilead, or shall we refrain? And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king. So the king said to him, how many times shall I make you swear that you tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? Then he said, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master, let each return to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you he would not prophesy good concerning me but evil?
Then Micaiah said, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the hosts of heaven stood by, on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab to go up, that he may fall at Ramoth Gilead? The one spoke in his manner, and another spoke in his manner. And the Spirit came forward and stood before the Lord, and said, I will persuade him. The Lord said to him, in what way? So he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, you shall persuade him, and also prevail. Go out and do the same. Therefore, look, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets of yours, and the Lord has declared disaster against you. And Zedekiah, the son of
Chenaanah,
went near and struck Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way did the Spirit from the Lord go from the cheek? And Micaiah said, indeed you shall see on that day when you go into and enchant into hide.
Okay. A lot of interesting things happening here, aren't there? Okay. The king of Judah, Jehoshaphat, comes up, and the king of Israel, Ahab, decide they want to go to war. But before they do that, what do they want to do? Well, let's make sure that God approves of this, right? So Ahab calls all of his prophets, 400 of them, gather together. And they are all in one accord, right? And they're all saying, go. You'll be victorious, right? Jehoshaphat, though, is not satisfied. Isn't there another prophet of the Lord somewhere? What does that particular statement indicate to us? Yeah. You got 400 prophets over here all saying this one thing, and there's something kind of suspicious about, you know, what's going on here. Are they truly prophets of the Lord or are they not? Isn't there one prophet from the Lord? Okay. What is Ahab's response to that? Which is kind of, you know, this whole thing is kind of comical, isn't it? In a sense. Okay. Yeah, there is one prophet from the Lord, but he hates me. And he never tells anything good about me, only evil. Okay. But Jehoshaphat, his response is, we need to get him here, right? Okay. So they get him there. And but before he gets there, he gets word from, you know, one of the others, one of the other prophets, that tells him to do what?
Say the same thing.
Yeah, look, you know, all these other guys have already said this. Why don't you just be, you know, speak right along with them and just kind of go along with the program here, right? Are you guys seeing a pattern here? Okay. All right. So when he comes in, what's the first thing that he tells them? Yeah, go. You're going to be victorious. But right away, what happens? Well, you know, he says, look, you tell me the truth here. Now, you know, does that statement not kind of make you wonder what's going on? He comes in and he says the same thing that all the rest of the prophets are saying. But Ahab is going, no, you know, tell me, how many times do I have to ask you before you're going to tell me the truth?
Yeah.
Well, you know, he's already had the very same thing said by all of his other prophets. He's ready to accept that. But now Micaiah comes in and tells him the same thing, and he says, how many times do I need to ask you before you'll tell me the truth? Now, what does that tell you about what's going on here?
Well, Ahab really knew better.
Yeah. Yeah, Ahab knew. Yeah. So then Micaiah does tell him the truth, and his response is what? See, I told you he never tells anything good about me, only bad. You see? When you look at this part of this story and what's going on, what does that tell you about the leadership? And specifically, the problems that prophets had to deal with concerning the leadership of the people. Yeah. Yeah. You got 400 prophets that come in, and all of them are saying exactly the same thing. Why? Because they knew that's what the king wanted to hear. You see? They're telling the king what he wants to hear instead of what he needs to hear. Okay? Micaiah comes in. What is his statement that he makes to the one that tells him, you know, everybody else is in agreement? He says, as the Lord lives, verse 14, what the Lord says to me, that I will speak. That's an important statement there that it was going to come back a little bit later as we look at some of these different characteristics of prophets of God and false prophets here in terms of what they were willing to speak and so forth. You look down at towards the end of this, the last part of this, Micaiah then tells them how God is going to work this whole thing out, right? And that working out involves the Spirit, doesn't it? You see? Beginning in verse 19, I saw the Lord sitting on His throne and all the host of heaven standing beside Him on His right hand and on His left. And the Lord said, who will entice Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? So God had already made His decision, hadn't He? It was time for Ahab to fall. Okay? Now, who's going to go up and entice him to do this? Say, so that what I have planned will take place. And there are some different ideas that are tossed around. Didn't that kind of give you an interesting picture of the host of heaven in conversing with the Almighty, you know, and so forth? Where he talks about, I just think it's kind of interesting, where he says, verse 20, the Lord said, let me see, I've lost my place here. One said one thing, and another said another. So it's almost, you get the impression, this picture that's in your mind, that here is God on His throne. Excuse me. And, you know, the hosts of heaven are all gathered around Him, and, you know, they're just kind of like, you know, talking ideas back and forth, you know, and someone says, well, how about if we do this? And another says, how about if we do that? You know, I can do this or I can do that. And then a spirit comes forward and says, here's what I'll do. And what is it that he tells him that he will do? Yeah. A lying spirit in the mouth of the others. Okay? We've talked about how God's spirit, even though is in folks, and God uses His Spirit within people, that people don't always, just because they have the Spirit, do what they're supposed to do. Okay? Here is an example, I think, of where God's Spirit is taking people that have determined to be against what God wants, and God is using His Spirit to accomplish what God wants to have done with those people. In the case of Ahab, who has done evil all of his, you know, the time he's been king. In fact, Ahab was so evil that most of the other kings are compared in their wickedness to him. You see, he was, in a sense, the standard of wickedness, so to speak, for determining the other kings as to whether they were as evil or not as he was. And so it was time for him to be done with, and God uses His Spirit to accomplish that task. Steve?
Well, reading this, it's problematic. You know, when you first read, you think, wait a minute, God's got a spirit here who's intentionally lying. Well, you know, Satan's the father of lies. You know, how do we reconcile this? I think it's worth noting that during this conversation, both the spirit that's going to be a lying spirit and the Lord refer to the prophets as His prophet, Ahab.
Right. Yes. Absolutely. Well, let's talk about these false prophets for a minute. And let's look at some characteristics or marks that are there that help to identify these false prophets. You know, these folks that, you know, here Ahab has, you know, we keep seeing over and over again through this period of history of Israel, these false prophets that are, you know, causing problems for the true prophets. What are some of the features or the marks of these kinds of prophets? There are three really that stand out. There are probably others that we could come up with, but at least these three are very very prominent amongst these false prophets. The first one is that they have a lack of personal moral integrity. Okay? A lack of personal moral integrity. By the standards of God's law, they weren't even good Israelites, let alone good prophets of God. Okay? And so the part of the question was, how could they live in immorality and yet presume to present the Holy One of Israel? How could they live such depraved moral lives and yet assume a representation of the holiness of God? We see, for example, a lot of things that they were involved in that just have to do with moral integrity. For instance, if you go over to Isaiah 28, let me get somebody to read verses 7 and 8 there. And let me get somebody else to turn to Micah 2 and verse 11. Okay? Who's got Isaiah 28, 7 and 8? Okay, Steve. Micah 2, verse 11. Who wants to read that for us? All right. Nicole, let me get somebody to go to Jeremiah 23 and verse 14. I'll give out a couple of different passages here, and then we'll go through and read all of these. Jeremiah 23 and verse 14. Okay, Lynette. Jeremiah 6 and verse 13. Okay. All right. Isaiah 28, 7 and 8. I don't remember who I got to read these, so you'll have to speak out, all right? Okay. Steve, go ahead.
And these also stagger from wine and reel from beer. Priests and prophets stagger from beer and are befuddled with wine. They reel from beer. They stagger when seeing visions. They stumble when rendering decisions. All the tables are covered with vomit, and there is not a spot without filth.
Okay. Micah 2 and verse 11. Okay. Jeremiah 23 and verse 14. Gomorrah. Okay. All right. Jeremiah 6 and verse 13. Okay, so you know what are three of the characteristics that we find here that you know really question moral integrity? We've got drunkenness, we've got you know sexuality problems here going on, sexual immorality, we've got greed and lies, you know, and yet these are people who are presuming to represent the Holy One of Israel. And how, again, how can those who are living in such a way expect to represent God in His holiness? The second mark is a lack of public courage. Okay? A lack of public courage. And as we saw in the text that we were just reading over concerning Ahab and the prophets there, the false prophets simply told the leaders and the people what they wanted to hear, rather than have the courage to stand up for the truth. The leaders and the people were pleased to have their desires endorsed by God's spokesperson. Okay, so in other words, you know, the king or whoever else it is that says, you know, here's what I want to do. You know, we want to go off to war. Tell us whether God's in favor of this. Well, if you don't have any moral courage or what have you, then what do? You go and say, absolutely, God will, you know, God will bless this work. And the king is more than pleased to have that kind of an endorsement, to feel secure. Because what do? I asked of God, and God did what? Approved my plan. You say, what's the problem with that? One word. Anybody pick up on it? My plan. You say, when you're inquiring of God, what are you supposed to be inquiring of for? His plan, okay? What is God's will in this? You see? When you don't have any moral courage, then you're willing to go along with whatever is suggested, whether it's what God really wants or not. And that's what was happening so often, right? Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yes, he was.
If you read the history, Naboth was supposed to be raised. If you go over to, you know, 23rd chapter, he was supposed to be raised because that was in the higher.
That's right. Exactly right.
Which
goes back to some of the things we were talking about that comes to this whole issue of, you know, what is God's primary concerns? It's to look after, you know, those who are oppressed and so forth. And the problem is that by this time, who's doing most of the oppressing? It's the kings and the leaders who are supposed to be taking care of God's people and protecting them, you see. And so that was, you know, that's part of the evil that was going on. You know, another part of this whole idea here of this lack of public courage is that, you know, the nation of Israel is rotting from within, but yet these prophets are telling everything's fine. Everything's good. God's going to take care of you and so forth. Let's take a look at a couple of examples here. Jeremiah 5 and verse 12. Let me get somebody to read there, and then somebody else, Jeremiah 6, 13 through 15. Who's got Jeremiah 5 and verse 12? Okay, Vilma, and Jeremiah 6, 13 through 15. Okay. Jeremiah 6, 13 through 15. Who's got that? Okay, go on. Verse 15. They dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious. You know, it kind of reminds me of, and I don't remember the movie in particular, but it's the line in it. It's just a flesh wound, you know. It's that's really kind of what it is. You know, it's not that bad. Just walk it off. You see, you'll be okay. And that's what they're saying to the people. When in reality, the people are dying from within as a nation. And yet the prophets are saying, just walk it off. It'll be okay. It's not that serious. Because they lacked public courage. And then instead of offering any kind of solutions to the problems that Israel had, they condoned the evil behavior of the people and the leadership, and then also involve themselves in it. Okay. Jeremiah 23. Let me get somebody to read 9 through 22 for us, please. Jeremiah 23, 9 through 22.
Concerning the prophets, my heart is broken within me. All my bones tremble. I am like a drunken man, like a man overcome by wine, because of the Lord and His holy words. The land is full of adulterers. Because of the curse, the land lies parched, and the pastures in the desert are withered. The prophets follow an evil course and use their power unjustly. Both prophet and priest are godless. Even in my temple I find their wickedness, declares the Lord. Therefore, their path will become slippery. They will be banished to darkness, and there they will fall. I will bring disaster on them in the year they are punished, declares the Lord. among the prophets of Samaria, I saw this repulsive thing. They prophesied by Baal and led my people Israel astray. And among the prophets of Jerusalem, I have seen something horrible. They commit adultery and live a lie. They strengthen the hands of evildoers so that no one turns from his wickedness. They are all like Sodom to me. The people of Jerusalem are like Gomorrah.
Therefore,
this is what the Lord Almighty says concerning the prophets. I will make them eat bitter food and drink poisoned water, because from the prophets of Jerusalem ungodliness has spread throughout the land. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Do not listen to what the prophets are prophesying to you. They fill you with false hopes. They speak visions from their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They keep saying to those who despise me, the Lord says, you will have peace. And to all who follow the stubbornness of their hearts, they say, no harm will come to you. But which of them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see or to hear his word? Who has listened and heard his word? See, the storm of the Lord will burst out in wrath, a whirlwind swirling down on the heads of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he fully accomplishes the purposes of his heart. In the days to come, you will understand it clearly. I did not send these prophets, yet they have run with their message. I did not speak to them, but yet they have prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, they would have proclaimed my word to my people and would have turned them from their evil ways and from their evil deeds.
Who is it that turned the people to evil? The prophets are good. And they were not called by God. They were not in his presence, he says. Okay. It's really a great blessing that we don't have that same kind of problem going on in the world today, right? The Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 4, verses 2 through 4, writing to Timothy, gave him these instructions. Preach the word. Be instant, in season and out of season. Okay, what does that mean? In season and out of season. Brother Marshall Keeble used to say about that, he said, that means when they likes it, when they don't like it. You tell it anyway, you see? He says, reprove, rebuke, and correct with all patience and long suffering. Okay, why? For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Okay? What will they do instead? They will gather around themselves teachers who will say what their itching ears want to hear. Doesn't that sound exactly like what we've been talking about that the prophets were doing? Okay? The king gathers around him prophets who will say what his ears want to hear. And people are doing the same thing today. It's, you know, why do we have so many different groups of Christians? I use that term in that broad sense because of that very reason. Okay? That people need to understand the same thing. The same problem that existed back then is still going on today. People lack, teachers lack public courage. The courage to stand up and tell the truth of God's Word. Okay? The third characteristic here, before we run out of time here, is a lack of a prophetic mandate from God. Now, we saw a little bit of that in this text that we just read where God says, you know, they didn't come before me. I didn't give them the instructions and so forth. These prophets claim to have been sent by God, but they were never in God's presence. Okay? They claim to speak for God, but God never sent them. Again, go back over to Jeremiah 23. Look in verse 18. For who among them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see and to hear his word? Or who has paid attention to his word and listened? verses 21 and 22. I did not send the prophets, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, and yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, they would have proclaimed my words to my people, and they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds. You know, this, just though they claimed it, they weren't sent by God. And so therefore, the messages that they gave were not God's messages. The result of that, and you can tell, okay, well, were they false prophets or were they not, is what was happening to the people. Were the people turning back to the truth, or were they continuing in their evil ways? You say, can we not use that same test today? You say, if people are continuing going down the path to destruction in their lives, you see, then part of the reason is because the teachers that they're listening to are not telling them the truth of God's Word. You see, they haven't been sent by God. Ezekiel 13, 1 through 7. Let me get somebody to read that for us. And then let me get somebody, as we finish up here, Deuteronomy 18 and verse 20. So I need somebody to read Ezekiel 13, 1 through 7. Who wants to read that? Okay, Lynette. And then let me get somebody to read Deuteronomy 18, verse 20. Okay, Baron. All right, Ezekiel 13, 1 through 7. Okay, then verse 3 of that, thus says the Lord, woe to the foolish prophets who follow what? Their own spirit and have seen nothing. Okay, Deuteronomy 18 and verse 20, what's going to happen to them? Aaron? Okay. A warning from Jehovah God. I didn't send him. He's in trouble. That's a paraphrase, you understand, right? Okay. All right. Okay. So we look at these prophets, these false prophets, and this is what the true prophets of God, even though, let me get you to think about this, okay, even though these true prophets, and we'll see this, you know, next week, were filled with the Spirit, they have the Spirit, you know, in them working, they still had to contend with this, okay, as they were trying to teach the people God's Word, all right? So what we're going to do is next week we're going to look at the true prophets, and God's Spirit as He works within them. When God's Spirit is working within the prophets, what's the result of that? Okay? So that's where we're going to go. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.